as I was thinking about that, I thought about the fact that that might very well have been the society that Paul was writing to Titus about. Titus, the book of Titus, is interesting, is 3 chapters long. But 5 times in that book, Paul exhorts Titus to remind the people, to remind the believers, to be active in doing goods. The first one, chapter 2, verse 7, they are to be an example of good deeds. And they are to be an example of good deeds with purity in their doctrine. If we mess up on our doctrine and we try to go the other way, people have nothing to believe in. They are to be zealous for good deeds. Chapter 2, verse 14. They are to be ready for every good deed. Chapter 3, verse 1. They are to be careful to engage in good deeds. Chapter 3, verse 8. And they are to learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful in chapter 3, verse 14. And so Christmas time is a time where we as believers can make those steps of being active in good deeds. It might be simply a plate of cookies or just a random act of kindness can go a long ways and break down the barrier that can open up to conversations. Now, we have a message to proclaim. It's not just good deeds. It's a message to proclaim, but it's a both and so it can be very discouraging when we trying to reach out to our neighbors, coworkers, etc. here in Northfield, and we think that nobody is listening. But we need to remember that often the ones that God is going to reach the most, or their hearts are going to be the most open to being reached, are those who are often marginalized, those who are hurting, those who are lonely, those who are just going through some very difficult times. And Luke reminds us that just as the shepherds were kind of marginalized, but they received and they welcomed the good news with joy, so also those today who are marginalized are far more open to good news. Well, number 4, the Christian message leads the angels to rejoice. I think it's very interesting. It was an angel who appeared to the shepherds, and as a result of that, the shepherds were struck with fear, and as they saw the glory of the Lord, and they became instantly aware of their sinfulness. When it comes time, Luke tells us that when they told him the message, that the angels, that it was a whole host of a multitude of heavenly hosts who are singing praise to God. And though, you know, we often, especially at this time of the year, we hear this, that they sang praise to glory, they sang glory to God, and it's a message of peace. As you read the text, it's not a message of peace to the whole world. It's not a message of peace to the whole world. It's a message of peace to those whom God is pleased with. Now, I have no doubt that Longfellow, Henry Longfellow, who wrote the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Eve," I have no doubt that he heard bells on Christmas Day. And in the midst of the Civil War, there was much hate that was going on between the North and the South, and he had lost his wife in a tragic fire. But those bells did not proclaim peace on earth, goodwill to men. Those bells proclaimed peace on earth to whom God was pleased, with whom he is pleased. The psalmist declares this in Psalm 7:11, that God's anger towards the unrighteous is a daily event. It's a daily affair. And we understand why it's a daily affair. God sent his Son to redeem the world, to make it possible to be reconciled with him. And people turn away from that and they say, "Pooh-hoo, I have no interest in you." And they continue in their state of rebellion. And so it's not peace on earth, but it's peace to whom he is pleased with. And so there might be, when you go and spend Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or you're with your relatives, we need to recognize that that before peace can come to their lives, the first step that they must take is they must take a step in turning around from their rebellion against him. But I also find it very interesting that that angels are mentioned over 75 times in the Gospels, and twice in Luke, we hear of angels praising God. We hear of angels praising God here and in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, where Luke chapter 15, verse 10, the Pharisees were grumbling because Jesus was spending time with sinners, and Jesus said that there is joy in the presence of angels of God when one sinner repents. And so that tells us that at Christmas time, as we are engaging, I know some of you through various things like Together for Good, Safe Families, that as you are engaging unbelievers and sharing the message, that when they respond, the angels will rejoice at that time. Well, lastly here, the Christian message requires a life change. Verses 15 through 20. We noticed when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds didn't say to one another, "Well, that was an interesting experience. I guess it's back to the work." No, they said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. In other words, they recognize, my Creator just spoke to me. And by His mercy, He spoke to me. And by His mercy, He spoke words of hope and joy to me rather than words of judgment and death, which I deserved. And so, as a result, the shepherds took to heart and they went in haste. Luke also tells us that Mary herself, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary understood that even though that she was the one that was giving birth to Jesus, she understood that she herself needed a Savior. It's interesting. The writer to the book of Hebrews, four times in the book of Hebrews, in chapters 3 and 4, four times he urges us, believers, that when we hear the Spirit of God speaking to us, that we need to make sure that we respond and do not harden our hearts to God as the children of Israel did in the rebellion back in the wilderness. And he calls us to do that, and he calls us as believers to be exhorting each other in that we don't harden our hearts towards God. When we harden our hearts towards God, we become less apt to hear him speaking to us in the future. And so it doesn't matter if God is speaking to you concerning a sin in your life. It might be an issue of lust. It might be an issue of, I don't know. You fill in the blank. The Bible is very clear that when we hear His Spirit speaking to us, that today we don't harden our hearts and as a result become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Rather, we, like the shepherds, like Mary, we recognize, oh, our Creator has spoken to us. I need to go in haste. Now, I recognize that there are some of you here who have never responded to your Creator. And I urge you to be like the shepherds, to be like Mary, and to respond. There are others of us, it's so easy to hear the Christmas story and become so familiar with it that we forget about the impact that it is to have on our very own lives. That we are called, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, to adopt the mind of Christ, to adopt that servant-hearted attitude that seeks to put others more important than ourselves. Today, the Holy Spirit says that if there's an area in our life where we're not acting that way towards others, then today we need to do that. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you that you have promised that the work that you began in our lives, you will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning who has never opened up their heart to you, that they would see the need to open their heart to you and they would respond. They would receive this Christmas message as a message of great joy to them, recognizing that Jesus has made it possible for the reconciliation to take place between them and God. They no longer need to be afraid of you. They no longer need to shy away, but they can move in to you. Father, I pray that for each of us here, that we would recognize that the Christmas story is indeed a story that is rooted in history. It is a story that the world needs to hear. It is a story that we need to remind ourselves daily. Because in the Christmas story, you came near to us so that we could open our hearts to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.